Well, we're real happy to have Brother John and his dear family with us at this convention. Every time John comes down, we fill his shoes with sand, and we hope someday that instead of a visiting speaker from Indiana, we'll have John Treziak and his dear family from Florida. Where are you going, Brother John, when you leave the convention?
We're still going to be in Florida for a while.
Well, Brother John's going to talk to us this morning on the mind's eye. The mind's eye. Brother John, may the Lord be with you. Thank you, Brother Vrooman and dear brethren. Indeed, it is a blessing once again to be with you, loved ones. We thank the Lord so many times that we have the privileges that we have of doing the things we can do, and we appreciate Him for that. We would like to bring you the love and greetings from your brethren back in the Northern Indiana area. We come from Portage, Indiana, and our brethren gather together from all different areas of Northwest Indiana, and we meet in a little town called Hobart, Indiana. And I'd like to bring you the love of these brethren, especially that of my parents, Brother Ted and Sister Pauline Treziak. They want to be remembered to each and every one of you. I know they would love to have been here. Sister Esther and I and our two daughters are happy that we have the privilege of sharing these blessings with you this day. We're going to consider something which I feel is very, very important to the new creature this day, as it has been all down through the ages. It's talked about so many times in the Scriptures, and in making your calling and election sure, it is very essential that it be developed properly and with the proper perspective before it. We mainly want to consider those thoughts which are in Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. And we'd like to take that Scripture and see what it means to me as I have studied it, and maybe it will in turn be a blessing to each and every one of you. It reads, "To keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And we've heard that so many times in different ways in this convention and with our brethren and our fellowship one with another, that we see how important this is. You know, the heart itself in the creation of the body is such a monumental organism. It's an organ that functions to develop all of those characteristics that the body has so that it can move freely and function properly if it is taken care of. You know, we read in the Scriptures that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, isn't it so beautiful that we can find this organism, this organ, this pump, that it is termed by science a pump, that is located in the centermost portion of this structure, this human body that we have. And with this heart, we find that all the different portions of the body are fed. And they are fed because of how we take care of the body. And this is very important if we are to be healthy and to know that this is the objective that we have in our minds of being healthy and being prosperous in our endeavor. So we want to encourage that thought by knowing that as we've heard so many times, to take this heart into consideration, this physical heart. We must know always that we eat properly, we rest properly, we get enough exercise, so that we can keep this pump, this organ, working properly. Of course, with the depraved conditions with which we have in this world, the sin-cursed and dying world, we find that it is very difficult. But nevertheless, because we try and we do what we think is important, in that degree, the Lord will bless us. We see how important the heart is to the human body. But how much more important it is to the new creature. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter here, it brings out the meaning of this heart, the heart of the new creature. And this is what we would like to talk about and like to place emphasis on. We consider the moral and the mental well-being of the new creature always. And we find this in the scriptures quoted everywhere. The development of this heart, this proper heart attitude toward our Heavenly Father and toward one another. So we feel that what is stated here in Proverbs, to keep thy heart, is very important with all diligence. Because only then can we learn what life really is. Not life on the human plane, as has been described to us so many times by people with whom we come in contact with, but life that we know is much more blessed on the spiritual plane. So we know that in the heart we develop certain desires and motives and ambitions. And in the heart we nourish the different portions of the body, as we had mentioned, and mainly one of them is the mind. And we find that through this heart, the mind will function properly if it is nourished properly. So, with this thought in mind, we realize that the heart, the well-being of the heart, is very characteristic of our behavior or our thoughts and how we develop and how we grow into the individuals with which we are today. So as we consider this, we find that the heart also is very much in accord, in conjunction with the mind. And this is the import of what we feel the scripture is talking about. So in concluding that, we find that our affections, our desires, our motives, our aims, our ambitions are actually seated within the mind. And this we find to be the symbolic heart, or the mind's eye, as it were. And this is the eye of the new creature, the heart of the new creature. So in other words, to have the mind function properly, to make the right decisions, we know that it is very important that we keep this sound reasoning, this sound judgment. And in order to do that, we find that Paul gives us many things to think about, but the one that I think about so vividly in my mind now is the scriptures. He tells us to study to show thyself approved, a workman that will not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And by this we can consider then what is justice, what is wisdom, what is love, what is tolerance and goodwill, and thereby develop this character, the principles of the character, which are essential to making our calling and election sure. So by nature, we see that the heart desires everything that satisfies the senses. Everything we come in contact with, each and every one of us have desires which we develop. And that will satisfy the senses that we have, the taste, the touch, the smell, the seeing. Now, if we were to consider every one of these different characteristics in every individual down through this gospel age, what a monumental task that would be. And here our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus is considering each and every one. We'd like to step aside for a moment and just consider two individuals. And we'd like to draw a comparison between the new creature and that of the old man. That of the one who has been raised in the fleshly inclinations. But the new creature who has the mind of Christ in developing this position. Now, these two individuals can come from any walk of life. We thought we might use professional people, say doctors, physicians. We have had some experience with doctors just recently, and we've found many different thoughts that we can entertain in respects to this. And we're all familiar with them. We know that in my instance, and I'm sure with all of you, we have come across doctors who are willing to help and those that are also willing to do what they can to achieve the goals that they are desiring, the monetary means or whatever. Well, the desires of the heart are brought forth in this application also. Well, the new creature, we find, also has to learn what the heart has in its importance for him in this application, because we can recognize that each individual will set out with a desire, will say that I want to be this, I want to accomplish this. But then when you receive your accomplishment, are you truly blessed by what you have received? And in this case, in the case of doctors, as it may be, they may reach the goal which they have aspired, but finding out that it is almost a hopeless task, that they turn to other means. And most of the time, that is to monetary growth and wealth and prosperity. And forgetting about the more important, the helping of those who need the help. So a form of selfishness and greed will enter in. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, if we might read the 34th and 35th verses, our Lord, we find, was reproving the Pharisees here concerning the Sabbath, but this we'd like to connect in relationship to the individuals that are serving God and not man. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So we see then how we must develop this heart attitude which is proper in concerning God's character, so that we can bring forth good things and not lose sight of the goals which we have before us and press on continuously. Each doctor, we find, was trained in his profession to do what he thought was proper, but then fell by the wayside. And we have a number of doctors. They're excellent. But many of them, we find, are not so good. And we can draw a comparison in our consideration with these doctors or with anyone in any walk of life. Because of their determination, their abilities to want to achieve, and not lose sight of the initial goal that we have before us. These doctors enrolled in a school, well, we feel that the new creature must also enroll in the school. We call this the school of Christ. And we study and we meditate. And we determine by scriptural definitions and by scriptural guidance which are proper for our admonition. What would be beneficial for each and every one of us. When we read and we study, we apply scriptures to us individually, so that we can grow. And each one of these scriptures, each one of these experiences, will have the tailor-made experiences which are essential for our development. Each doctor set out with a purpose in mind, or each individual, whatever walk of life it is, and we also have each Bible student, each new creature in Christ Jesus, setting out with a purpose in mind, each having the objective of satisfying the senses, the mind's eye, satisfying what he thinks is right for him. One thing we must not forget, that even though man's standards will come in here, because we have drawn this comparison, this sort of crude comparison between man and the new creature, we must not forget that man will be developed by the conditions which man provides, but the new creature will be developed by that which our Heavenly Father provides in the school of Christ. And only those who have the right heart attitude, who have the right perspective in mind, and keep this mind's eye always in the proper accord, will be the prospective victorious winners. We see so many times in the scriptures how individuals have set out to accomplish a task and come back defeated, and come back with a lack of character and an appreciation for that initial goal that they were so fervent to achieve. Remember how the there were laws which were given to the nation of Israel, as Paul tells us in Galatians, the 3rd chapter and 24th verse. Well, we also find that there are laws and guidance and direction that are given to each and every one of us. And they are for our consideration. They're for our properly, rightfully dividing. Remember in 2 Timothy, we might read that. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th and 17th verses, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished. So that if we diligently seek to study these doctrines and these messages and these hopes, that they will be embedded within our minds and we will be thoroughly furnished. So as we conclude somewhat of the thoughts that we have developed here between the man in this present evil world and the new creature in Christ, we find that both have affections and both have desires. And our affections, then, we see are actually seated in the mind. And this we find to be the development of our characters. And we can readily see then that our behavior, how we act toward one another, will be the sum total of our thoughts. So how we develop our thoughts are going to be very essential in how we behave. And this will determine the mind's eye, or that heart attitude, which is so important to making our calling and our election sure. In Psalms, the first chapter, it talks about a man who was delighted in doing the Lord's word. It tells how he is planted by the river, by this water, and it will bring forth his fruit in due season as he cultivates it and as he nourishes it by this water. And these are all the fruits of the Spirit that we are all trying to develop. And we see there that his leaf, the leaf being the hope that he has, the glory which he will receive if found faithful, it shall be his if he is nourished properly by this water, this truth, this life. And we know that if we are planted in this capacity, that even though the all around us, we can see, as David tells us, the mountains are going to be carried into the midst of the sea, and there's going to be this turmoil and this confusion, that we will have this nourishing condition of this truth. We will be planted by this river and this water of life, so that this leaf that we are developing will be pure and crisp, and know that its glory will be with the Heavenly Father if found faithful. We see that in this text of keeping thy heart with all diligence, we find that there are different positions in this text which we would like to take apart and see what they would mean. In the first portion of it, it says to keep thy heart, to guard the heart, to watch over the heart. And we consider this to be a purpose which is very essential, the guarding of the heart. And this guarding is toward pureness. It can only be toward pureness. By keeping it pure, we know that we are able to recognize who God is continuously, and who our Heavenly Father, who our Lord Jesus is. By and through Him we can recognize our Heavenly Father. In Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." But so many times we come confronted with conditions which will alter us from recognizing what is the character of God. So thereby we lose this pureness, this quality which is so essential. And this mind will become enveloped in the ways that are indifferent to the character of God. And we find that there are those, as Paul tells us in the 16th chapter of Romans, and mainly the 17th and 18th verses, which states that there are those who will use good words and will use fair speeches to deceive those that have the proper heart attitude. But we know that there can be no advantage in any such way, because it may be an advantage for a short period of time, but we know with the conditions that are existing that they are very selfish. And man can fall by the wayside if he is not guided and directed properly. So this, we find, is only temporary. And when we recognize that there are those who will have this tendency to do what they can for their own selfish motives, it is only for a short period of time. And those with the proper heart attitude will be victorious over that, because they will try to the best of their ability to keep it pure. We remember how in dealing with the Jewish nation, and how Absalom tried to take over the nation, the city, from his father, and by the deceitful ways that he wanted to do this by the fair speeches, by the controlling of the minds of the people. And they were taken into his thinking. But we saw that by his advisors, his youthful advisors, how everything did fall and collapse because the proper heart attitude was not there. And because it was in the wrong perspective that all did fall. And this leads us to realize that in order to keep our heart pure, that we must trust God in all things and in all ways. Our hearts, our minds, and our consciences should always be clear before God. And that comes by prayer. And this we find, in as Paul tells us in Philippians, it'll surpass all understanding. Because we have this knowledge, which is from God. And that knowledge passeth all understanding. And that'll keep your mind pure and your heart pure. Since the majority of us go out into the world at one time or another in our lives to secure our livings, we become constantly confronted with the people whose mind's eye, whose heart attitude, whose desires, whose behavior, their attitude is constantly indifferent to ours. It's just the opposite of ours. And we find that more so with each and every one of us, because we come here and we dwell in the spirit of unity, this convention, and we enjoy it, and we love one another and we fellowship. But most of our lives are spent in that condition of what the world has to offer. And this leaves us sometimes to let our guard down so that heart can maybe receive some of this corruption and lose some quality of that pureness. It is necessary that, as Paul tells us, that in order to go out into this camp, into this condition of the world, that we must be well armed, as he explains to us in Ephesians, and to keep that armor in good repair, polished, and ready to do battle. And to know what our position is so that we can keep this heart pure and we can keep God pure, and that we won't be tempted by any man. Paul tells us in Hebrews, the 4th chapter in the 15th verse, where Jesus was tempted in all ways. So if we are going to follow in Jesus' footsteps, we're going to do as He accomplished, then our purpose also will be in that perspective. So we are going to be tempted as he was tempted, in all ways. It's nice to have this dwelling in the unity of the Spirit that we have here, but we know that our biggest battle and our biggest position in this life is with those about us in our daily walk, the world, the flesh, and the devil. In Philippians, the 4th chapter in the 8th verse, it states that we are to store up a good treasure. We mentioned this, a good treasure which will manifest itself in our words, in our actions, and by this it will make us pure. And it will make us acceptable to the Heavenly Father. Now, when you look at this scripture that we are to store up a good treasure, well, we also realize that as we have brought forth in Matthew there, that there's also a bad treasure. And that treasure can only lead to corruption and to the mind not recognizing what God is doing on our behalf and God is doing in our individual lives. And these treasures are those things which we develop as we grow through our behavior, and it comes out through our character. As the psalmist tells us, that in all ways of righteousness, God is pure. And there, in any time we look at our Heavenly Father and we recognize Him. Whenever we consider our Heavenly Father or our Lord Jesus, we never consider them as being impure. We never consider them as being that condition which will not be glorious to us, which will not be pleasing to us. So I think this is the proper meaning when it is described here to store up this good treasure so that we can always be recognized as being pure and clean. You know, we have had mentioned in the discourses through the convention that we are to always watch how we conduct ourselves. And I find that sometimes when we come in contact with the world, in its generalities, it's very difficult to approach a lot of people and talk to them, even though you would like to do that, and because you want to show them respect. But how you live your life, how you conduct your life concerning this good treasure will come out in your behavior. The sum total of your thoughts will be your behavior, as we had mentioned, and this will come out in your character, in your conduct. And this, brethren, is sometimes the only Bible that people will ever be able to read. And if they can see that in you, then they will glorify their Father, or the Heavenly Father, because they see this goodness in you. And maybe they will be able to approach you, and you will be able to express to them the meaning of the kingdom of God. We see that we must emulate the character of our Heavenly Father in our lives, that in whatever the case may be, in whatever conditions we may find ourselves, we must always glorify our Heavenly Father. Paul states in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse, that if we observe His ways and try most earnestly to live by them, that by and by we will be changed by the influence of His Holy Spirit. Now, one very important thought in reference to this pure heart that we must not overlook is this, that if in any way we have a wrong idea, a wrong conception of our Heavenly Father's character, that the result will be reflected in our ways and in our character, in our conduct. And thereby we will find it very difficult to keep the heart pure. So how we recognize our Heavenly Father is very important. So we have to guard the heart, as it is talked about in so many ways. We didn't realize our time was flying by so swiftly here. We also realize that in this scripture, in keeping the heart diligent, that we can also become idle, which is in complete opposite of diligence. Idleness. And we'd like to consider this point for a moment, because the new creature can find himself at this condition. I know in my own particular life that I have found myself in this attitude by scriptural rendering. I have found that I have become idle in certain ways in the past. We find that we do a service to the Lord. We do a service to the Lord's people. We provide for the convention in monetary means. We attend the meetings from time to time. So we feel that we are confident in the Lord's eyes that we are accomplishing what we think is proper. Well, we see, brethren, that this is not the case. That we can really lose sight of our Heavenly Father, because this becomes a form of satisfaction. And we have no satisfaction in the flesh. There is no satisfaction that the Lord desires in the flesh, only that we make our calling and election sure. And this satisfaction will
we find impede our progress. We'll sit back and we become very slothful in our condition, and it will be very, very easy for us to just relax and let life go by. Well, I found that this condition can lead to falling way back in the conditions of serving the Lord and the truth and the brethren. Now, our Lord exemplified much more strongly in His character the ability to go out into the world and to witness and to do what he could do in sacrificing His life in service to those who need help and to those of our brethren. And there's always something we can do. So we must always keep these things in mind and never be slothful in our condition, relaxed, so that we will be in this condition of idleness. We also would like to consider the point before we close in judgment, in realizing that we can reach a position in our lives as new creatures where we can be critical of one another, of each and every individual's walk. Well, we were reminded of this when we were considering our subject matter, when we would turn to the tabernacle picture and see how our Lord represented the bullock here in the Leviticus, the 16th chapter, and also the two goats. And these two goats, we found, represented those who are doing what they feel is proper. One goes on to sacrifice. One goes on to follow in the Lord's footsteps. And one goes on to appreciate that what the Lord is doing for him. But we found that the other, mainly in the 7th verse of that chapter, was presented before God. Both goats were consecrated, but both of these conditions here were in this consecrated condition. But we found that the second goat, which was not sacrificed after the manner of the bullock, or the Lord's goat, pictures of people who have promised more than they can accomplish. And it is this class whose zeal does not go on to this completion, but they fail to sacrifice. They fail to avoid the steady, continuous, sacrificial effort in serving the Lord, as the Lord's goat class has accomplished. Well, we see that both of these conditions are here. Both of these classes are developing side by side in connections with trials and afflictions which will come upon them. And these trials, we find, should be a joyful condition for each and every one of us. But to this other class, they may not be. To this other condition of heart and mind, they may not be. So sometimes we can become very critical of one another, because we have these pictures down through the scriptures, down through the writings of our brother Russell, where we can see different individuals walking in this newness of life. And we know that we are not to develop this kind of attitude which will determine and judge and say, this one is here and this one is here, because we cannot recognize, we cannot read the heart, we cannot recognize the character of man. Only God can do that. Well, we have found that in our scriptural admonitions here of diligence, of being industrious in our effort to serve the Lord, and of guarding the heart, keeping it pure, and not being idle, and watching it always so that it will be pure and that we will not judge one another, that it is important that we just make our calling and election sure, that each and individual character work to that degree, and that we help one another in also doing that. And I think this is the import of the lesson. And I hope it has been to each and every one of us, as it has been to me. Because in all my walk in this narrow way, if I can't help my brethren, I certainly do not wish to hinder them, because I love each and every one of you. And it is my attitude, my heart's desire, that each and every one of you will make your calling and election sure, and you will enter into this position of the Most Holy, and that you will have a part in that first resurrection. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother John. When Brother John was telling us about keeping our hearts with all diligence, my mind went back to 1 Samuel, where we remember how Saul had everything going for him, and then he started doing things his way, and Samuel told Saul that his kingdom was going to be given to someone that had a heart in conformity with God's will and plan. That's what we have as our scripture up there. Walk honestly, walk lovingly, walk in our elder brother's footsteps, keeping our hearts with all diligence in conformity with God's will for us. Thank you again, Brother John.